Let's go ahead and get right to it. I am speaking with Stephanie Warren Drimmer, and the world, of course, is full of mind-blowing marvels, and National Geographic Kids has come out with a new book series that uncovers our planet's most peculiar phenomena, puzzles from the past, eye-opening inventions, astonishing animals, and so much more. Drimmer is the author of Ultimate Secrets Revealed, a closer look at the weirdest, wildest facts on Earth. Stephanie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
First off, let's talk about who you are, your expertise, and how you came to write for National Geographic Kids.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm a science journalist by training, and when I was in graduate school, I got the chance to intern at some children's magazines and just totally fell in love with writing for kids. So I've been doing that for almost 8 years now, and I'm lucky enough to work with National Geographic Kids a lot, and this is our most recent book.
And this is, from the information I have, this is a new series?
Yes, this is the first book, and the idea behind it is that everybody loves a fun fact. National Geographic, they publish all kinds of books of facts, and kids really love them. I love a fun fact, but sometimes when you hear a fun fact, you kind of are left wanting more information. So, for example, if you told me that there are 67 different kinds of bacteria that live in the average belly button, I need to know more. I need the whole story. And so that's the idea behind this book. It's really weird, fun facts, and then secrets behind them.
And you know what's actually pretty funny is that's one of my questions later on is about the belly button secrets. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so I know. It's a little shocking. So that comes from a study that some scientists did a few years ago. It was actually at a science conference. And so some scientists asked other fellow scientists if they wouldn't mind swabbing their belly buttons, and scientists are pretty much game for anything. So they said yes, and then those swabs were taken back to the lab and looked at under the microscope, and it's pretty hard to shock scientists, but I feel safe to say that they were shocked by what they found. They looked at 60 belly buttons, and across those 60 belly buttons, they found more than 2,000 kinds of bacteria, different types of bacteria. And more than half of those were unknown to science. So they had never been seen before. And even the ones that they were familiar with were totally weird. So, for example, one person had a type of bacteria that had only ever been seen in Japan, a place he had never been. And another person had a type of bacteria that had only ever been seen in sea ice at the poles. So basically, it's a jungle in there.
That is amazing. I mean, there are so many angles to the questions I could ask you surrounding the belly button hunt for bacteria. But the really cool thing about National Geographic Kids books is, first off, they're beautiful books. There's fantastic photography, and the writing, such as yours, is just wonderful. But there is so much behind this, the research, and how do you filter the facts and format the book? How did you know where to begin, where to end? Can you answer at least one of those in there somewhere?
Sure. So, like, at least as far as beginning and ending, this book is fun because it's not sort of meant to be a book that you can read cover to cover. I mean, you can if you want, but it's the kind of book where you can just flip it open to a random page and learn a fact or two, put it down, and come back to it later, which, you know, keeps it engaging for kids and adults too, I think. I know a lot of adults tell me that they buy this book for their kids and then they end up stealing it and reading it themselves.
Oh, totally.
But as far as the research, you know, I'm a curious person. I think I have a kid-level curiosity about the world, so I'm kind of always wondering weird questions, and for this book, you know, I did a lot of Googling and a lot of reading, and I also got to call up a lot of scientists and ask them my questions, which is probably the most fun part about my job. I have the perfect excuse to call up really smart people and ask them really silly questions, like, do woodpeckers get headaches?
Yeah.
That's one of the questions I asked for this book.
Well, Do they?
Well, okay, so the answer is that we can't know for sure because we can't ask them. But probably not, because they have all these amazing adaptations that help them pull off this feat. And it really is a feat. So if you think about it, an airplane test pilot who trains to withstand incredible G-forces, they can withstand about 140 times the force of gravity before they black out. But a woodpecker can withstand more than 1,000 times the force of gravity. And they do it all day. So how they do it is they have all these crazy adaptations. Like, for example, your brain or my brain, a human brain, is sort of floating around in liquid inside of your skull. And so when you hit your head on something, your brain whacks up against the side of your skull, and that's why people get concussions. Mm-hmm. But a woodpecker brain is really tight inside of its skull. There's no liquid. There's no way for it to jostle around. So it just holds there. And it also has this special bone called the hyoid bone, which in humans is very small and kind of useless. But in a woodpecker, it wraps all the way around the skull, and it acts exactly like a seatbelt. It holds everything in place and prevents anything from, you know, jostling loose.
So my question is to you, you're talking to scientists. I have a feeling they don't talk like you just explained that to us and drilled it down that way.
You would be right. Yeah.
So we are so grateful because the way you talk, the way you write, and the way this is presented is just such a wonderful, friendly and exciting way to present these sorts of facts and to get kids and adults even more interested. I was showing my husband the book before I spoke with you, and he's like, I want that book afterward. I want that book. I'm going to keep that book. Okay, settle down.
Oh, that's so nice. I love that.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. And I want to dig into some of the other things in there, like, how do you make a rainbow? Really?
Oh, that's a really good question. And a little bit hard to describe without pictures. In the book, there are these really cool diagrams that explain it. But basically the point of it is that a rainbow is just an optical illusion that depends on where you're standing and where the angle of the sunlight is coming from. So sunlight bounces inside of a raindrop and then bounces out. And the way that it bounces sort of prevents all but one specific color from bouncing out and bouncing back to your eyes. And when that happens to thousands or millions of rainbows raindrops all at a time, that creates a rainbow. But one of the things that I found most interesting is that a rainbow is actually a full circle, but you can't see it that way. You only see an arc because the ground gets in the way. The planet cuts it in half. So if you go in outside and hold your garden hose up, and you know how you can angle it just so you can see a rainbow in your garden hose, you'll actually notice that it is a full circle.
I'm going to do that. I'm putting that to the test for sure.
I did it after a scientist told me. I was like, I'm going to go test this.
And the other thing is, you know, we were talking about brain-boggling body secrets, and I had no idea that tiny microbes crawl through my eyelashes and swing from my hair. That was like, what? I don't know if I want to know that one.
I know. There are a lot of, I have to admit, there are a lot of kind of gross facts in this book, but I think everybody secretly loves them, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's for sure. We are talking with Stephanie Warren Drimmer. She is the author of Ultimate Secrets Revealed by National Geographic Kids. And we talk about some of the things that gross you out. What are some of the things, the secrets that maybe surprised you most, aside from having so many bacteria in our belly button?
You know, to be honest, a lot of them surprised me, because if they didn't, then I didn't think they were worth going in the book, you know, because it's supposed to be secrets. Uh-huh. So, but some of them really surprised me. One of them had to do with what happens when caterpillars go inside their cocoons. Maybe it's just me, but I always just assumed that, you know, the caterpillar weaves its cocoon, it goes inside, and then it sort of gradually morphs into a butterfly. You know, like maybe some of its legs shrivel up, and then its wings appear out of its back. Right? I think that's what most people think. But that is not what happens at all. So what actually happens is the caterpillar digests itself. It melts and it turns into this caterpillar goo. And actually, if you were to cut open the cocoon at just the right time, that's what you would see. Not a like half caterpillar, half butterfly. You would just see caterpillar soup. And the butterfly forms from that ooze totally from scratch, which I just found totally amazing.
Oh my God, that is fascinating.
Wonderful and really freaky. There are some freaky things that happen in nature in here. Because it was Halloween yesterday, it made me think about this. We have this fascination with zombies. You know, they're really creepy. They're kind of trendy right now.
Yeah.
And the idea of something that can, like, take over your brain and make your body do whatever it wants is really freaky, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to worry because it's science fiction, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
What?
It's happening all the time in nature. Yeah, so there's a whole page of these animal zombies, but probably my favorite one is the female jewel wasp. Okay, she hunts for cockroaches. But she doesn't eat them. What she does is she injects them with this this very specific type of venom that basically takes over the cockroach's brain and destroys its free will. It's still alive. It's still able to move, but it can't decide to move anywhere by itself. So what the wasp does is she, and this sounds fake, but it's real.
Oh, yeah.
She grabs onto the cockroach's antenna. And she leads it, just like a dog on a leash. She leads it down into her nest. It can't control where it's going. It has to do whatever she wants. She leads it into her nest, and there she lays her eggs on it. And when the babies are born, the cockroach becomes their first meal. So that is a real zombie.
Oh, wow. Oh, I just got so totally creeped out.
Sorry.
Oh, that is amazing. Oh, I don't even want to think about the implications of that.
Well, you maybe don't want to read the book then. You're going to get really freaked out.
Oh, man. Well, we are just so thrilled to be able to talk to you and to be able to see the book. And folks, this is a fantastic gift to give to your children and give to just curious people, because, like I said, my husband, he's in his 50s and was going nuts over trying to check the book out. It's just calm down. You'll get to it. why do you suppose people are so fascinated, kids in particular, of course, so fascinated by these things?
I think that we all have, you know, we come up with questions, you know, like the woodpecker question that I have. I'm sure that's the thing that a lot of people have wondered. And, you know, we don't always go out and find the answer. Maybe the answer is hard to find, or maybe it's in kind of science-y lingo and it's not that interesting. So I think it's really fun to have this collection of, you know, weird facts and questions, things that surprise you about the world, kind of all together in one place. And then you can show them off at parties, or at least I like to think that I'm fun at parties, but maybe other people don't think that.
I don't know. The zombie thing would go over really well for Halloween. That's for sure. I'll bet at trivia contests, you like nail it.
Oh, I don't know. You know, there's just so much information in the world.
True.
And as you can tell, the things that I know are so random that I think I could get lucky and do really well one night, and then, you know, the next night the questions could just be things that I've never heard of. But at least they give me new ideas. I mean, I'm just coming up with new questions all the time.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. And I'll tell you what, we are very grateful that you do. And the way you write, it's wonderful to have this kind of information drilled down to something that the average person can understand more fully. Because let's face it, scientific language, language of medical people and lawyers, it's like a foreign language to most people.
Oh yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be. I mean, I think we want kids to learn from these books. Definitely, they're educational, but that's not really the point. They're not supposed to, you know, prepare you for a history test or something. This is supposed to be a book that you'll pick up and read just because it's really fun. And so, you know, we all worked really hard. I worked really hard to find things that are so fun and amazing that you'll just learn just because it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also helps spur people's imaginations and open them up to just taking a look at other things, and who knows, it may spark all kinds of different avenues for children and even adults as well. One final question is the next book in the works?
The next book is in the works. Yeah, there is a sequel happening. I am not really sure when it's being released, but you know, other Nat Geo books come out all the time. I have a few new ones coming up myself. So there's always something to keep you interested for sure.
All right. Well, and I know you have a website, and I am going to link your website onto ours when we post the interview. So again, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, absolutely. Stephanie, wish you the best and can't wait to talk to you again.
Thanks so much. That was a lot of fun.